Inoho, please be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we went on a site visit this morning, and we were taken around by Richard, station owner of Kawarau Station, and got a lot further than we were meant to be doing or thought we might get to, and went up to the top of the Hawkburn Road as far as we could go. Poked our nose into the Nevis Valley to have a look at the race there and the siphon off the race. Got on to Kawarau Station to look at the race, one of the races as we went through the station, and to look at the flow recording technology at the station. And took a photo to prove that we weren't just sightseeing. So this is which state? That's the Kawarau race. Would that be right, Richard? Bannockburn race. Yeah. So saw a lot on the ground, and it's invaluable to see the infrastructure on the ground and to get a better understanding of how that infrastructure works or is made to work. So we're very grateful for you taking us up there. It was invaluable. So thank you very much. So we're in your hands. What have we done? Overnight we looked at the proposal in terms of the recalling of witnesses back into Dunedin, and we had one different thought, and that is insofar as the court has questions, and it does have questions, around the drafting. So it's not a case of pick A or pick B. The court has questions about the drafting. It seems to us that the better course is to have back all primary sector planners. So at the moment, Ms. Dicey is coming for ORUG, but Claire Perkins will be required to come. Mr. Enzel for the minister will also be required to come. Who else is out there?
Ms. Ma.
Ma, yes, she was. Did she attend?
Did she not attend the conference?
She might have got away with a priority and then suddenly didn't turn up for actually a major conference that she should have been involved in.
So we have Ms. McIntyre, Mr. Ensor, Mr. Brass, Mr. Tews, Ms. Dicey, Ms. Perkins, Mr. Hodgson, and Ms. Stiles were all attending.
So unless they're already attending, we didn't particularly need hydro or community water there, but we did need primary sector there because we will have questions around the drafting, and it is fair that they be there. And I can't remember, I thought Ms. Ma was excused from the priorities, but may have, I can't remember how that went, but may have excused herself for the week.
So, yes, my understanding is she wasn't involved in the original, the original conferencing.
Yep.
Just confirming. Oh, sorry, she was.
She was there in the beginning.
She was there in the beginning, but was indicated that she wasn't participating in the next set of conferencing, was my recollection, but I can confirm that.
Yeah. We'll pull up the direction that we made. So anyway, that will be the court's direction. All planners who are representing primary sector interests to be there at the empanelling of planners. So we're quite happy to go in that way.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you. Very good. All right, anything else arising overnight?
The matter of the, I'll describe it as the wiring diagram for the Manaherikia catchment and a map. So there are two maps that have been circulated.
Mm.
Having viewed particularly the wiring diagram, it strikes me that diagram may need some explanation, and I'm a little uncomfortable simply admitting that by consent without the explanation.
That's fair enough.
That might wrap around it.
Mm.
Now, I haven't had a chance to consult again with Mr. Page about which of the rogue witnesses might be best placed to produce and speak to that document, but I am of the view it does need to be explained a little more in a more fulsome manner than simply producing it. So I will take that up with Mr. Page and report back in due course.
Very good. All right, that's fine. Okay, good. Anything else arising? Schedule.
Yes, no, I'm just turning my mind now to where to next, and it looks like Mr. Smith.
Mr. Smith, okay.
Can you confirm your full name for the record?
I'm Philip David Baxter Smith.
And you have filed a submission on Plan Change 7, dated 3 May 2020?
Correct.
And you've also prepared a summary of the key points that you wish to raise in relation to your submission, and you have provided a copy of that document in writing to the court?
Yes, I have. There is two copies. One was delivered here this morning, which is the follow-up of my information, which will explain the data that's been on the screen here for the last day.
Okay, so in addition to the information, those two documents circulated, you've also produced a series of maps that have been displayed on the board behind you. And are those maps displayed on the this? Are those maps described in this further summary?
Yes.
Do you confirm that the evidence you're about to give is true and correct, to the best of your knowledge and belief?
Yes.
Perhaps if you can take the court through your written statement that was circulated yesterday, and then perhaps take the court through the document circulated this morning with reference to the maps that are displayed behind you.
If I could read both lots, and then they probably make sense that way, and then I'll take them through the documents if that pleases
you. Very good. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honour and Commissioners. My name is Philip Smith. I am representing Janet and myself, who farm Cairn Hill Limited, a traditional sheep and beef farm on Blackstone Hill at Bex in the Manuhiakea Valley. We're the fourth generation farming this property, having come home to Janet's family farm in 2005 and have been farming in our own right for the past 15 years. We're hoping to start farm succession within the next 10 years to allow another generation to continue to improve and enjoy working this farm. We are both involved in activities off-farm, ranging from irrigation company governance, sports administration, and various other community service groups, as well as enjoying the social side of living in a strong rural community. Cairn Hill consists of dry hill country, rolling downs, and irrigated flats. The irrigated flats enable us to finish young stock which has been bred on our property. The irrigated part of the farm is made up of approximately 215 hectares of spray irrigation and approximately 40 hectares of contour and border dike irrigation. Knowing that the consent renewal process was approaching, we started converting our contour and border dike areas to spray irrigation. Since 2006, we have invested in new irrigation infrastructure, starting with K-line irrigation and a hard hose gun. And then in 2014, two pivot irrigators were added. This development cost us in excess of $1 million, which has been funded through bank mortgages. In 2016, we started the process of renewing our consents by engaging consultants and helping to form the Dunstan Water Users Group and facilitating two on-farm visits for affected parties. At present, we have spent over $75,000 in consent renewal costs. This is not including any costs associated with Plan Change 7. Because Cairnhill Farm is broken into different blocks by natural and man-made barriers, we use several different sources of irrigation water. Cairnhill has a shareholding in the Blackstone Hill Irrigation Company, a shareholding in Omakau Area Irrigation Company, a private right from the Bex Creek, a private right from the Dunstan Creek, and a private right from an unnamed tributary on Blackstone Hill. In our submission, we oppose Plan Change 7 on the basis that we had completed and lodged our application for consent renewal, which had been accepted by the ORC and was on hold, allowing others in the catchment to finish their applications. We had completed the requirements that the ORC had been advocating to make the processing of applications smoother. For example, recording water use, converting to more efficient methods of irrigation, forming catchment groups, and compiling ecological and environmental reports. So to have the ORC move the goalposts at the 11th hour because they hadn't carried out their own requirements has left us with an uncertain future and undermining the goodwill that we had shown towards them. This Plan Change 7 process has caused another level of stress and anxiety within our family and other farming families. It seems the past 10 years plus 10 years of meetings with its unpaid increased workload on and off farm by both Janet and myself was in vain. Thank you for allowing us to present our views to the court. Now, if it pleases you, I'll just carry on with the Dunstan. Good morning, my name is Philip Smith. I'm here to represent the Dunstan Water Users Group. There are four irrigation takes on the main stem of the Dunstan and six consent holders with a number of consents on the tributaries. These consents are a mixture of RMA and deemed permits. This group was formed after discussions between some irrigators on the Dunstan Creek and was formally formed after a public meeting at the Bex Hall of irrigators on the Dunstan Creek and its tributaries. A committee was formed to help facilitate science, ecological and hydrological reports and formulate a residual flow and flow sharing agreement. Zoe McCormick of LandPro and Matt Hickey of Water Resource Management Limited were engaged as consultants. This work was funded by sharing costs by the volume of permitted water, with each consent holder paying for its own consent application. Applications were separate, but with shared reports and the same shared residual at the confluence of the creek with the Manuhia Kia with an agreed rationing plan. The Dunstan Water Users formed a set of principles to guide it when making decisions on the sharing of water and the sharing of costs. They are as follows. Number one, sharing. Sharing of available water is agreed amongst the Dunstan Creek users when restrictions are called to meet the values of Dunstan Creek, all users shall share available water. Sharing of water and cost is fair and equitable, the shared pain principle. Visibility and transparency. Water abstraction data will be made available to all users of the group and shared via an online platform. Number three. The users on Dunstan Creek tributaries are responsible for delivering their residual flows to the main stem. via the tributary itself where possible if water is not lost to ground. The users on Dunstan Creek main stem are responsible for delivering their residual flows to the main stem of the Manuhiakea River. The Dunstan Water Users Group tested the flow sharing regime in January 2020. It worked successfully, and with new technology will be even easier to manage. The Dunstan Water Users Group is concerned that Plan Change 7 will put some consent holders at a disadvantage due to some already having renewed their consents with long terms. And this could cause a disruption to the process of the proposed residual flow and flow sharing. Thank you.
Had prepared some maps that are displayed behind you. Would now be a good time for you to describe what is on those plans?
Yes. So you want me to...
Yes. Now, we're going to need to make sure the microphone can pick up what you're saying for the transcript. Yes? All good. Okay, if you could just proceed.
Okay. On the map of the Manuhiakea catchment, this is the Dunstan catchment up here, with our Cairn Hill farm being at the confluence of the Manuhiakea and the Dunstan in here. This is a map of the Dunstan catchment, starting up at the headwaters. Well, it's not actually the true headwaters, but further up, this is St. Baffin's, the Blue Lake. Loop Road, which comes up from Bex. These are all the tributary consents. So some have already been renewed with long-term permits, and they are written on which ones have been replaced here and here. These were replaced through a lot of these high country properties were going through tenure review. So that was part of their conditions of tenure review to renew their consents. So they have differing terms of permits ranging from, I think, 30 to 35 metres. On the main stem, there are four takes. There's a pump take up just below the Loop Road Bridge, the Downs Irrigation Scheme, which does the true left onto the Downs country, which Margaret Hoare presented evidence about yesterday or the day before. So that's where the intake does, it comes through this country here. The Omakau irrigation take, which is for the Dunstan race of the Omakau scheme, which is marked in red here, and covers this country through here to the start of the Lauder catchment. So the Lauder catchment is coming in here. And then there's our Cairn Hill take here, which is taken in here and irrigates this country in here. Probably what I've said there is pretty well described there. That is just the numbers. I don't know if you want me to go through the numbers in detail. Of the amount of water.
One of the things.
So is this the proposal
to come in your resource consent application? This is how it's meant to look, or is this what's actually on the ground right now?
That is on the ground now.
Okay, good. That would be really helpful. Yep.
So that's the top here. This is on the main stem.
Yeah.
So we understand that. So at the top is Southern Lakes Holden, who have a pumped take from the river through a gallery system, and they are permitted to take 83 litres a second. Further down the valley is the Downs scheme, which is 283 litres a second. That is a deemed permit and comes through here. It's a
the race system, the hunting rock, and the gravity feed for slow irrigation. The only better way to do it would be to take the next one further downstream. We're aware across the river there, the creek there, sorry, which has a consented take of 424 metres a second. That goes to a number of shareholders along the of the Onakau irrigation scheme. It goes along there. There was some spray along there, but a fair proportion of wild flood and contour irrigation. At the bottom of the catchment was Cairn Hills Tape, which is 111 metres per second, which is an open race. There's the two pivot irrigators and some border dikes still remaining there. And then the crest flows in down into the confluence of the Mangere Tier at the State Highway Bridge.
Very good.
So on the other side of the flow here. So this is what we're proposing and putting in our consent application. So it's still the four tapes on the main stand. We have a proposed combined residual at the top of the river with the Mangere River of 250 litres a second. This is what Matt Hickey has come up with in his ecological research. That to our measure site is at Beatty Road, which is between the Onakau irrigation intake and Cairn Hills intake. We have a trigger number there of 361 litres per second.
That is to allow the 250 plus Cairn Hills take of 111. When we reach 361 litres a second on the ORC website, river manager will start notifying consents to drop off in percentage rates. Generally, it works that Omakau will drop first, followed by the Downs, with Cairn Hill and Southern Lakes sharing water. The idea being that 250 litres a second is maintained, or 361 at Beatty Road is maintained, to give us that number. I think I've covered everything there. Is there any questions on those diagrams? For me, I sort of know that it's difficult to explain.
No, you're doing really well. Just one question, and I just didn't hear clearly enough. When you get to 361 metres per second at the measuring site at Beatty's Road,
yes,
which represents the 250 at the proposed residual flow site, together with, I think it's Cairn Hills, 111.
Yes.
Yeah. Then that triggers the raceman or somebody to notify other folk on the scheme to start restricting. And I didn't hear what you said then. I thought there was an order priority, but there may not have been.
It is. In theory, there's no order priority.
No, I know that too.
But it's easier with the technology that generally the Omakau scheme will reduce first.
Oh, I see, that's part of
it. Well, the two biggest schemes reduce first.
Yeah.
And one will go first, and then as the river creek keeps falling, the other will follow. Downs
is,
yes. So they're the two biggest takes by quite some share.
Yeah.
With Cairn Hill and Southern Lakes talking to each other, saying because Southern Lakes is a pumped, it cannot reduce.
Yeah.
It it's either going or it's not, because it's feeding a Rotorana system. Mm-hmm. So when they are pumping, Cairn Hill has to reduce by the same amount.
Yeah.
So it is communication within locals.
Okay, got it. Understood. Now we need to get this produced.
Yes, I think we need to get all four of those diagrams produced. So we'll start with the large map in, on the middle panel, and that is a map entitled Manaherikia Threatened Fish and Water Races.
And where are you looking? Oh, no, that's the one we've been working on.
Has that already been produced?
Yeah.
Has that been produced? I don't know whether it was or not. It, it was part of the site visit. And it just happened to orientate us, and I thought it was, in fact, I can't recall on Monday whether we produced that or not, or whether that, Mr. Page has no problem with that, so that if we haven't already produced it, it can come in by consent. That's, did we produce that? No, I didn't think we did. So how about we produce that by consent? We've been working with it all week, and nobody seems to have any issues with its accuracy. What I will say is that evidently not all races are shown on that, just the major races.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. So for the record, by consent, a large plan entitled Manaherikia Threatened Fish and Water Races.
Okay, we'll move to the map on the top left entitled Dunstan Creek Takes and Monitoring Sites, and we'll have that produced as Exhibit Smith, P. Smith 1. Yep. Then we'll move to the diagram on the bottom left, which is overview of scheme. Have that produced as Exhibit P. Smith 2. And then the diagram on the right-hand side, entitled Flow Sharing, Exhibit P. Smith 3.
We've got just some housekeeping that we need to do to make sure that things formally come onto the record, so that's all that is. Okay. Right, your questions?
I do, yes, I just have a couple of questions. And starting with the overview of the scheme exhibit, so that's an overview of what's happening currently.
Yes.
Is there any priority as between the various schemes as to who takes water first if water's starting to run low, or is that something that is simply dealt with through an agreement of some sort?
Technically, there will be a priority there with deemed permits, but that is not enforced. What is used at present is the Falls Dam Agreement, which, even though we have no water from the Falls Dam, when the Falls Dam places restrictions on the entire valley, we follow suit, we being the Dunstan Group. So if the Falls Dam, for example, says we are reducing by 25%, all takes will reduce by 25%.
So I have some questions for you in relation to the property that you farm. And you've set out in your summary statement this morning the irrigation that's currently in place on the farm. You described a transition towards more efficient irrigation, and the date range looked like a period of 2006 through to 2014, where the irrigation system was updated, and most recently the two pivots being added. Were those added in 2014?
Correct. They were up and running by Christmas 2014.
And since that time, the area under irrigation is, has been consistent in terms of the infrastructure that you have available?
Yes, there's been no more.
And if you think about the period of time from September 2017 to March 2020, You could show me on a map the area that you, or the maximum extent of the area you had under irrigation during that period?
Yes, that is in our application to the ORC.
Now, further on in your statement, you describe the five different sources of water in respect to your farming property, and you describe their shareholdings in Blackstone Hill Irrigation and Omakau Area Irrigation, and then three private rights.
Correct.
In terms of the private rights, are those deemed permits?
None of them are deemed permits now because my father-in-law had made changes to permits earlier on, so they had been converted to RMA.
So in relation to those three permits, there are no priorities that exist in relation to them?
No.
And in relation to the shareholding in Blackstone and Omakau, you've described to the court how those systems operate in terms of the broader catchment, and you simply take water as it's provided by the irrigation companies, subject to any restrictions that those companies impose?
Yes.
You also gave some evidence this morning in relation to the Dunstan Water Users Group, and you described a testing of the flow sharing regime in 2020.
Yes.
Is there any impediment to continuing that flow sharing regime if the existing permits are simply rolled over for another 6 years?
There is nothing to stop it continuing. Whether there is a will to continue with it, as there is no reasoning to do it. We already have a flow sharing agreement with the Falls Dam, and whether, I'm not too sure the correct word, the momentum we've built with people going forward is continued for 6 years while nothing is done to the consents, may lack some people may be feeling a wee bit irritated on that for the work they've done.
You then went on in that statement to describe some concerns about Plan Chain 7 putting consent holders at a disadvantage due to some having already renewed their consents. Does that situation exist currently?
No, those consent holders have all been part of the Dunstan Group, at present they are still part of the group, and they have agreed to all the ideas and principles that we have come up with. Two of them are on the committee, so they are quite their views are listened to. Because their consents are going through to, I think the last one to fall over is 2040, there may be a perceived attitude through the other consent holders that they've got their water and we have to sit for another 6 years before we get our continuation and continue our development of our properties, while they can continue along with their properties going through, they've all finished to tenure review now, but you know they can start to do the farm succession plans and things like that. They're not held back, say, by either banks on lack of loaning or anything like that.
So is the risk that you're concerned about a risk that those consent holders will withdraw from participating in this catchment-wide water sharing approach?
There could be a risk of that, because they already have their conditions on their permits.
In your experience, the time and effort that the community has put into working on these agreements, are you of the view that, in light of that effort, there is a reasonable chance of keeping community groups together and working for the future of rivers such as the ones that you farm or take water from?
I would hope that our group and our community is strong enough to discuss all issues we have in the past, and we're very open. So I would say yes, we would. The group would continue, just robust discussion will be held.
Thank you. No further questions.
All right. Also talking about the same issue, and again, noting that in your evidence today, you've said, I think of those two who've got their RM renewals, and indeed one has a renewal out to 2040, you say that you know, this could cause disruption in terms of the process of the proposed residual flow and flow sharing, and so that's... that could be, you know, their participation as part of that user group, as part of that community. And my question is for you right now, though, you've got those two who've got their consents renewed for a long term.
There's three.
Three, yes. Yeah. So you've got three who've got consents renewed for a long term, and then you've got others who've yet to go through that process. How now does flow sharing work with those who've got long-term consents and those that are up for replacement? How does that work both within the catchment, the Dunstan catchment, and also in relation to whatever Falls Dam's doing? Can you tell me about that?
Yes. At present, so those renewed consents are all on the tributaries of the Dunstan.
Yeah.
So they have, as part of their renewed consents, they have residual flows on their tributary.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So they are providing, at present, they are providing that as per the RMA consents that they have, they are providing that water to those tributaries. The flow sharing on the main stem is probably not greatly affected by that. It is probably more the community feel that is affected, shall we say that. A lot of those tributaries, so when Falls Dam calls restrictions, a lot of those tributaries are naturally restricted by lack of water anyway. And so they still have to provide their residual, even though the creek flow has dropped significantly. And on some, one in particular creek, the creek is not reaching the Dunstan. That is why we have reference to water going to ground in our principles. So even if he stops taking all water, that will not make the Dunstan Creek
flow. Yeah, so there wouldn't be surface flow, the underground flow. So so the ones that have renewals have had renewals subject to residual flow conditions, and these are all tributaries of the Dunstan Creek, is that what you said? But those residuals aren't making a significant contribution to the flow in the Dunstan Creek.
No.
Is that what you said? You didn't say that. You did say that.
I did say that.
Okay, great. All right. Okay. And I mean, I understand what you're saying about that sense of grievance that some might have gone first and got that longer term permit, but I think you're also saying there's not going to be a sense of grievance the other way for those renewals, insofar as that they have to contribute, but because they've got residuals, but nobody else does. So it could go both ways. And the hope is that the work that you've done to build relationships and the importance of securing long-term that water and land use rights, you'll continue in that relationship.
I would hope so, that the community would continue here.
More to be gained than there is to be lost by breaking it up.
Yes.
How does it work with we've had it explained once actually, and only once after about 6 or 7 weeks of hearing by Jan Manson. broadly how the relationship with Falls Dam works. But how did that come into being, that Falls Dam could call you up? You know, you're a farmer on the Dunstan Creek and you're not taking water out the Omakau scheme. So how did that come into being, that relationship between the Falls Dam entity and a whole catchment?
Okay, so I'm no expert on the Falls Dam, but I will give you my opinion. So I'm a recent immigrant to the Manuhiakea Valley. I've only been here 30 years, so I do not know much. When my father-in-law renewed consents after 1990, when the RMA came in and they were changed to RMA Acts, all new consents... All renewed consents went before O-Rug and the Falls Dam Company. So the council placed them in front of those two entities to make sure everything was kosher. And we have an agreement, Falls Dam's part of it was that to get that, for that RMA to be given, that they would have a... it's written on the RMA, on the consent, that they have these rules in place. That, and we had to become part of the private water users group of the Manuhiakea. So we actually pay a sub to another group, which actually pays a sub to Falls Dam Company.
I see. Okay.
So not all consent holders were in that, involved in that, because if you didn't get an RMA, it was not... so if you had a deemed permit, it wasn't on that, obviously. But a lot of the private water right holders did sign up to that. There is a list today still, which is not my department, which is still... so we still pay a subscription to the Manuhiakea Private Rights Group.
Right. So there's not only a user group, if you like, within the Dunstan catchment, but that most farmers also have a relationship with Falls Dam.
Yes.
And the genesis of that was the enactment of the Resource Management Act and the transfer of mining privileges to deemed permits. And the regional council placing those deemed permits for or applications, or and I'm not sure what the process would have been 30 years ago, but placing that before a committee of that represented the entity of Falls Dam.
Yes, I presume the Falls Dam and O-Rug were affected parties in those days.
I see. You think it could have been that way.
But I think when a change of council direction through political and employed management changed in the mid, sort of, say 2010, around that sort of era, they were not placed in front of those entities.
Right. Well, you know, if they were affected parties, yes, they could have tremendous influence then throughout the catchment as a whole. Right. That makes sense, because I couldn't see why people would volunteer to do this. Yes. But I got to have a better sense of what's actually happening there. All right. That is really helpful. No, that's really helpful. Have you got any questions, Commissioners?
I just had one question. I don't know if you can answer it. On the flow sharing diagram down on Manuhiakea, there's a comment ORC reach of concern. Do you know anything about that?
Yes.
It's on this flow sharing diagram.
Yes. So that is on the Manuhiakea River.
Yes.
And that is between the confluence of the Dunstan Creek and the Manuhiakea and the Omakau Irrigation Company take at Blackstone Hill Station. The council has concerns that the what have we got written there? It's a habitat assessment, I think, they have concerns about that. I'm not too sure what... We have to ask the ORC what their concerns are on that one.
The habitat assessment, that's the one that was undertaken by...
Matt Hickey, yes.
Okay.
But Matt Hickey has done it for the Manuhiakea catchment group and obviously for Omakea Irrigation Company. So the council has registered concerns with that stretch of the river.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It's an outstanding matter.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Your Honour.
Right, thank you. Now, have you got any other comments that you want to make before we let you go?
No, just thank you for allowing us the time to present our views and,
Well, no, thank you. It's actually really helpful having you here and other farmers here to really help us understand what is actually happening in the Manuhiakea. On a practical, on the ground sense, and it's enormously valuable.
Mm. Yes, no, thank you.
Okay. Can you not read the faded ink?
I was just trying to work out whether we're dealing with a Mr. or Mrs. Davis.
Oh, I don't know.
Mr. Davis, very good. If you could perhaps come up. If you could confirm your full name for the record.
Terry Jack Davis.
And you have provided a submission on Plan Change 7 dated 1 May 2020 in the name of Coburn's Partnership.
That's correct.
You have also pre-circulated an email dated 12 May 2021, which sets out some information that was circulated yesterday.
That was the same. That's all the same information, I believe. I don't think there's any changes.
Yeah, we've now got a copy that's not an email.
Yes,
so, so it looks like.
Oh, it's the same thing. Let's just.
Yes, I've struck out that because apparently that's been taken out of Plan Change 7, so it's no longer relevant.
Okay,
well, thank you for doing that.
So we'll just go with the, not the email, but
yes,
the proper brief of evidence with a paragraph struck out.
Yes. Very good. So you've prepared a summary of the key points that you wish to raise with the court, and you've circulated a copy of that document this morning.
Yes.
Do you confirm that the evidence you are about to give is true and correct to the best of your knowledge and belief?
Yep, I confirm that.
And I'll simply invite you perhaps to read through your summary statement.
Thank you very much. Yes, thank you very much for the opportunity. I feel not quite as important as a lot of the other farmers here. We only have 25 hectares, so I guess I'm talking on behalf of a small landowner. Mm-hmm. But sitting here yesterday, some of the things I heard and some of the questions that were asked from the front table, I thought it's still worthwhile me coming and talking and saying my piece. So firstly, I'd just like to reiterate the key issues that most of the other farmers have problems with Plan Change 7, and that is to justify investment in infrastructure and to enable more efficient irrigation systems. A six-year term is just not long enough for to plan or pay back loans or anything like that. We think that's entirely too short a time period. And the other key point is this discouraging of development of more area for irrigation. In our situation in particular, we could use less water than we are currently taking. We could use it a lot more efficiently, with a lot less runoff, and we could enhance some of our area through planting of trees and regenerative pastures. So, this is my first time writing a submission, and I looked at the key principles behind the plan change on the IRC website, and I thought it quite ironic that it said the focus was to remain on the bigger picture, the water plan review. The water permits plan change should be as concise as required to achieve a fit-for-purpose management regime. Water allocation should be based on water use, not paper allocation. Consideration of potential impacts on existing water abstractors and existing priorities in deemed permits. Efficiency of time and cost for both council applicants and other parties. Opportunities for data gathering that will inform the water plan should be pursued. So that's what I read on the LRC website as to be the key principles of Plan Change 7. And then I thought if we break it down, the first part says the focus must remain on the bigger picture, the water plan review. And in my view, Plan Change 7, in fact, detracts from the water plan review. It states, the key features state the water permits plan should be as concise as required to achieve a fit-for-purpose management regime. I laughed out loud. Plan Change 7 is neither concise nor fit-for-purpose. It said the water allocation should be based on water use, not paper allocation. And it may be how I read it, but when I think of water use, I'm thinking of what you're doing with the water. And I just thought Plan Change 7, discouraging development, seems contrary to this point. But there could be two ways of looking at how that's read, I think. It also states consideration of potential impacts on existing water abstractors and existing priorities and deemed permits. Plan Change 7 seems to miss this point completely. Efficiency of time and cost for both council applicants and other parties. That's another laugh out loud. With the six-year term in its direct, this is a direct contradiction to the point. So, and then the last one I've struck out because that apparently is a gone burger from the Plan Change 7. So that's what I thought at the time. And after listening yesterday, I thought I could just elaborate on some of those key areas. And I heard the question asked, you know, why is there such a there's a real misunderstanding between what half of us are believing as a problem. Sorry, I'm mixing my words here. This issue that more area irrigated equals more pollution. That seems to be a blanket statement, and I think it is incorrect. And I believe that it comes from media hype. I think, without doubt, on the news and in magazines and all over the place, there's examples of some dairy farms applying excessive nitrogen and excessive irrigation that have polluted water systems. And it feels like this has been just taken to apply to all farming systems right across the country, irrespective of soil types and things. So, you know, absolutely, as every submitter that I've heard from yesterday, we are equally invested in water quality. That's very important to us, and so over-fertilising and over-irrigation that leads to pollution. I mean, this should be policed. We're all for that. That's great. But the big wide brush that says more hectares irrigated equals more pollution may be relevant in some environments where water tables are very close to the surface, but not around here where they are not. So I don't think it's fair to say that just because you're going to irrigate more land, that's going to directly lead to more pollution. And that's particularly the case for most of Central Otago and the Manuhirikia. My background, we've been farming and irrigating here for 44 years on a much bigger property than the current 25 hectares. In that time, we've attended the water daily. So we are very aware of the fluctuation in flow and we react accordingly. I grew up catching fish with my hands in the Stratford and the Logan Creeks. That was my life as a child. Back then, over 20 years ago, the Lowburn would sometimes, I've said dry up, but in actual fact, the water just went underground and came up further downstream. I'd rescue those fish, take them home from school and deposit them back in the creek, higher up. These days, I take my own kids fishing in these creeks. We catch fish in the water races and we release them back into the creek. It's great fun. So just making the point, like everybody else, we really care about the quality of our water. I went dairy farming when I left school here in Cromwell, working on the Tyree Plains, and that is an entirely different type of farming and philosophy to farming. Water tables and fertiliser levels are vastly different to what we're dealing with here. So that's just reiterating the point that the same brush should not apply across all farming styles and soil types. So in our place, we'd like to double our irrigation area while using less water. Currently, we're doing flood irrigation, and we realise that that's not as environmentally friendly as it could be. We would like to invest in K-lines and we would be able to use less water then and we could irrigate more of the paddock. We haven't invested in K-lines yet because we're in this area of limbo. We actually made our application, our final application, around the time that Plan Change 7 came out. So we were right on the edge. We thought we'd done everything we needed to do and then we're still just sitting here in limbo. So it's holding up us doing things better. And we can see irrigating extra land would be better for the environment in our situation because it would be sprinkle irrigation, not flooding. But the land that we're currently not irrigating, it just grows weeds if there's any rain. If there's no rain, it's very dusty. And then you get a big rain and all that sediment gets washed down. If we were able to sprinkle irrigate it, then we'd have some regenerative, whatever, bits of grass there to hold the topsoil and stop the silt. So that would be a good thing. We could plant some trees and all sorts of useful things. And with the new system over that area that's quite high up, far away from creeks and things, there would be zero runoff. And I'd just like to make the point that farmers are very practical people. Us trying to deal with academic bureaucrats is quite literally torture, and this is leading on to my point around the stress that we're under. This process and its ongoing changes keep the stress levels consistently high. It is almost a full-time job to keep abreast of all the changes and read through all the emails that keep coming. If you take the time and effort to participate in the process, like making a submission, then that time involved expands exponentially. This court seems all very nice, friendly and understanding, and we genuinely appreciate that. But what will come at the other end of this process? We have no idea and zero confidence. Previous notes that have come out after meetings have been unrepresentative of what was actually stated. And lastly, my parents have attended meetings, followed guidelines, spent over $40,000. This is just for our 25 hectare, of which only 10 hectares is actually irrigated, on measuring devices and consultants with no end in sight, and until now with zero result. The level of mental and emotional stress cannot be overemphasised. Please, can we take a fresh, localised, collaborative approach to our water quality issues, which every submitter here wants to ensure is the best possible? Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Questions?
What's the source of the water for your irrigation?
It's the Lowburn Creek.
And do you have a standalone water permit, or do you take water under an irrigation scheme?
We have a deemed right. Can I say now, for questions like this, if I could bring up my mother, she knows all those answers. I'm relatively new. Is that okay, or if you're going to ask questions like that, she's got some really good history on the take and...
More than happy to swear your mum in. We might just finish the questions with you, and then we'll hand over. Yeah. Only if mum's happy. That's the other thing. Okay.
The other, and it may well be that mum can help us with my other query, but I'll start with you, and if not, you can pass it on. In terms of the area that you have under irrigation, could you show that to me on a map if I have your map of the property?
Yep, that's all in our application.
And when you think back to the period of time, September 2017 to March 2020, the maximum area of land irrigated during that period, again, you could show me on that map?
Yeah, there's no change.
Very good. Shall we swear in mum, and we'll ask about the permit?
Check with the commissioners.
Oh, yes.
Questions?
No, I haven't.
Thank you.
Thank you. You don't want to sit with Mum?
Oh, I'll sit.
Right. Yep. Yes.
Where's your paperwork?
My paperwork.
If you could confirm your full name just for the record.
Claire Ellis Davis.
And you're familiar with the property that Mr. Terry Davis has been telling the court about?
Yes, I am.
Now, how long have you been, do you live on that property?
No, we farmed, it was part of a property that we farmed. We farmed on the, and we had it take from the Stratford Creek for the farm, and the Lowburn Creek was just a separate block.
So in terms of the 10 hectares that is irrigated, that the water takes from the Lowburn Creek, was
yes.
that? And in terms of that permit, is that one of the old deemed permits?
Yes, it is.
And does that permit have any priorities that attach to it, as far as you are
it
aware?
It has priorities above us. Now, they are pretty much irrelevant now. The main priority, I believe, was the... what they call the Borough Race, which blew out in the big rain in 1999 and has never been replaced.
So since that time, the priorities haven't been exercised, so you haven't had to shut off this water take to allow water to stay for another user?
No. There appears to be more water than there was. Back then, the water was used more consistently by the takes that had priority over us. That doesn't happen since that time.
And in terms of priorities, does your permit have priority over others? So have you ever had to ring up and ask somebody else to shut off?
No. The priorities, we have priorities over those that are below us. And on our take, a lot of those names no longer exist. Our take document has names on it that no longer exist, and races that no longer exist.
Thank you. That's helpful. That's the only line I wish to pursue.
If you just bear with me. So one of the places that we're going to see tomorrow is Manaata Estate Vineyard. Is that up for Lowburn?
Which one?
Manaata.
No.
No, okay. All right, leave that. I thought, and I have now, you know, there's so many people that have given evidence and I have forgotten their names, but somebody, one of the witnesses appearing before us, last time we were in Cromwell, also had a vineyard, I thought, maybe it was an orchard, up Lowburn, held a deemed permit, but didn't need to exercise the consents, the priority, because Lowburn was always flowing. There's always enough water to keep everybody ticking along, and for that reason, it hadn't been an issue in the valley. Would that be a fair summation of... of the need to exercise deemed permits, reliable flow, so people haven't had to call on that.
That definitely is. Prior to all the development now that is here, when we first were irrigating, we did have restriction on our water, and we there's a lot of water below us, so our water did dry up. Wasn't available because of the in the summer and the really dry times. That doesn't happen now.
It hasn't happened for over 20 years.
Yeah,
actually, that was the evidence that we received. Reliable flows for at least 25 years.
At our point, it has a lot to do with the Borough Race, which I believe took 8 heads of water. Excuse me saying heads, I'd be guessing otherwise.
That's all right, we're good with heads.
Okay. Yeah. And since that time, there's been plenty of water, and the Lowburn Creek really has flowed well.
And that was the race that blew out in 99, is that right?
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, yes. And it hasn't been reinstated.
No,
so.
And you will have statements from other users like, the Macaulays have a group, and the name may be familiar. They did get the water from the Lowburn, but now must take it from one of the streams, which all relates.
So they're coming up as witnesses?
Yes, they are.
Okay. I believe
we'll,
they will.
We'll ask them about why they had to go to another stream.
Yeah.
All right.
But you'll have, they'll be here. They're probably here today.
Yep.
Right. And you formed a water users group as such?
Pardon?
Is there a water users group up in the Lowburn?
I have to admit that we dearly need to get every water user on the Lowburn Creek together. Now, we've struggled to manage that. We have made approaches, and it's something that has to be attended to.
What's people's
quite
reluctance
a lot of,
to do that? Why are people dragging their feet on forming
different
a group?
People using different
consultants
and not quite agreeing.
So there's a bit of
But
is there a bit of competition, or is there
just a bit of not working together?
A bit of not working together.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I think. There's definitely plenty of water in the Lowburn Creek, and it's certainly we should be sorting it out among ourselves, not using consultants completely. That's my feeling.
Yeah. No, that's a valid view too. Yeah. All right. Well, those are my questions. Do you have any questions? No. Anything from what I asked? No. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Oh,
that again has
you.
Been really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. The Mulholland
Yes, the Mulhollands. Christopher Patrick's noted as giving the representation.
Yeah.
If you could confirm your full name for the record.
Christopher Patrick Mulholland.
And you have provided a submission dated the 1st of May 2020 in relation to Plan Change 7. And you are here today to provide a summary of the key points of your submission in relation to Plan Change 7. Have you prepared any written notes that you want to circulate, or are you just going to...
Okay,
and do you confirm that the evidence that you're now about to give is true and correct to the best of your knowledge and belief?
I do.
If you could proceed just with the statements you wish to make, and then remain for questions.
Okay. My introduction is I live and operate a sheep and beef farm located between Ramfield and Paddy Road, utilising water from the Pigburn catchment, with my wife, Dale Mulholland, who I'm also submitting this on behalf. A farm known as Brecon has a permit to take water from the tributary of the Pigburn. This is expiring in 2021. The mandated Eastside Irrigation Scheme irrigates the majority of our farm, and the remainder of the farm is reliant on the Pigburn Creek, which also supplies stock water to this area of the farm. It is the Pigburn water right that is directly affected by Plan Change 7. Over the past few years, we have been actively working towards ideas and movements on how we can improve our farming practice and making our contribution a more environmentally sustainable future. To meet our obligations and achieve our environmental recommendations, we are working on implementing spray irrigation, replacing flood irrigation. This will enable us to use the water take from the Pigburn catchment more efficiently. For this to happen, we have had to build a dam. There is no doubt that this plan has substantial financial implications for us, but we see it as a better way forward to manage their farm and meet our environmental requirements. The process and planning for this have been a long duration, expanding over at least the last 4 years, and we have poured a lot of time and money into it. About 4 years ago, an informal pig room users group consisting of the abstractors of the catchment was formed. Much time was spent together discussing, collecting data and communicating with water planning consultants, which also came at a financial cost. A joint community application was developed and submitted to the ORC for replacement permits in February 2020 this year, well before the Plan Change 7. While we're trying to endorse environmentally friendly use of water through the use of dams and pivot irrigation, we've based planning and finances for the development on the basis of the above application. The introduction of potentially PC7 disrupts and appears not to be supportive. Subsequently, if our community application is not adopted, then PC7 will have a substantial negative impacts on our ability to farm. This development involves a considerable investment ranging within the vicinity of $1 million being spent in this process. This development has and continues to be a tremendous financial strain. The restriction of a 6-year renewal under the PC7 removes all financial security. The short consent makes it very difficult to obtain loans from the bank, which we need to continue with the development. It is also very discouraging to be working so hard to save and spend this amount of money on a project that under the proposed PC7 leaves us with no certainty on whether after 6 years the development will still be able to be utilised to the extent that we have planned. It is important that we, along with all farmers, have certainty over the continued availability for water for stock and for irrigation purposes. I'd just like to meet at the end of that. When we were in the process of building our dam, or proposing to have it built, it was a $450,000 spend. They first only gave us consent for 6 years. We went to the bank, and they, to the ORCs, they acknowledged that it wasn't bankable, and they then gave us a 20-year term.
So just slow that down a little bit. Your
$450,000 spend
on the dam.
On the dam, and this isn't just consenting. This is actually the physical build.
The
of
physical
the
build. Yep. Yes, yes.
Okay,
blocks,
and
construction.
You got a 6-year six-year permit from ORC
to use the dam.
To use the dam, so that's filling the dam and taking use of water out of the dam.
Yes.
Yep. Did you appeal that?
Yes.
And then have provided evidence to ORC as to the, you know, obtaining financial support from the
yes,
bank.
And yep. Yeah, and they acknowledged that and they came back and gave us 20 years.
In a 20-year, okay. When was that?
That was on the 20th of August 2020.
Was that appealed to the Environment Court, or was that an objection through the ORC itself?
Through the ORC.
Okay, yeah. Had you started work on that dam before hadn't?
No, yeah. We had been working on it for probably a year before that, so we're just...
Okay. And you've also got a permit in, though, an application in?
Yep.
In with ORC to take water as well?
Yes.
Is that in relation to the dam or for other purposes?
Just for irrigation.
Just for irrigation?
Yes.
Okay, so you don't need to fill it with the dam. You would have got the permit for that.
Yes, we've got everything. It's all done
okay.
There.
All right. Okay. Right, I'm going to hand you over to Mr. Warren.
Had you finished with your...
Yes,
I am. Oh, very good. I'm just interested in your water source, and you described in your submission a mixture of sources, including from the Maniatoto Eastside Irrigation Scheme and also a take from the tributary of the Pigburn.
Yes, that's right.
If we start with the trib to the Pigburn first, do you still hold a water permit for that
yes.
take? And was that take replaced back when you dealt with the dam, or is that an application that's currently live?
It's live.
And in terms of that permit, is that a deemed permit?
Yes, it is.
And does that deemed permit have any priorities associated with it?
Yes, I'm a third.
You're the third
priority.
Can you describe how the priorities have been exercised historically in relation to that tributary?
Yes, there's first right is above us, and they have first right. Second is also above us, and I'm third. Out of the six takes, I'm fifth lowest in take. I have priority over the fourth, so I can turn them off. But we have a sharing agreement. Rather than me turn them off, I actually prefer to. When it gets low, I'll have a week on and he can have a week. So we sort of just share it a bit that way.
Right, so that perhaps is described as an informal water sharing agreement, or is that something that's documented?
No, it's informal. We just.
And how long has that arrangement been in place for?
Probably about 8 years. I haven't been there for a long time. I've bought... bought a property with it, and it came with that right. So,
so how long have you been on the property?
About 8-10 years.
Right. And when you think about the irrigation that's currently undertaken on the property, how many hectares would you have under irrigation at the moment?
About 320.
And how long's that area been under irrigation?
Since about 1990.
So if you think back to the period of time 2017 to 2020, you could show me on a map the area that was under irrigation.
Yep.
And that would correlate with the 350 hectares.
320.
Yep. My apologies. Thank you. No further questions.
Looking at those deemed permits again, you've got the first and second right of priority are above you.
Yes.
Have they told you to turn off or to
restrict? No, I'm below them.
You're below them. Okay, I see. Water sharing agreement informal between the third and fourth, so yes. Week on, week off, that's fine. What do you do with the first and second? Do you tell them to restrict, or how does that sort of shape up?
No, I can't. They're above my priority, so...
Yep.
They're above me in priority, and they're also above me in the water stream.
I see.
So they're above me both ways. Legally, they're above me, and physically, I'm below them.
Yeah.
Kind of have four is above me.
It's the, one of the weird things about the priorities. You know, you can have the first priority, but it's useless. But, it's not useless. You're telling yourself to turn off on a declining flow. Okay, nicey.
Yeah, I could turn four off, but he's a little bit above me. But just as a agreement between neighbours, I just thought it was easier to share with them rather than turn them off permanently.
Pigburn, does that go to ground? Either yes. A, go to ground, or B, routinely drive across large reaches?
It does go very dry over large reaches, yes.
Yeah, okay. And is that an annual thing?
Yes.
Yeah. And when you're flow sharing, does the with the third and fourth yourself and the fourth does it return, or is it or are you taking from gallery bores or shallow aquifers? So
it comes up, the water comes back up on where number four is, and where on mine is, I've got a clay bottom of the creek which brings it back where I am, and so when he releases it, it might take half a day or a day to get to me, but it does
but
get
it
there.
Comes back. Okay. All right. Yep. Commissioner.
I have a question. It's just in relation to your dam that you're in the process of building.
It's been built.
When's that going to be completed by?
It is completed.
It is completed. Yep. And are you using water out of it now?
Yes.
And so you have extended your irrigation area?
No.
As a consequence? No, you're just using it within the area that you've already irrigated for reliability.
Well, yes. At the moment, I might have even been smaller because I'm restricted to a pivot. So the outsides that I did used to irrigate isn't irrigated, but that may, in time, if I've could be K-lined later on. But at the moment, it's certainly not bigger.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
And the only one question yesterday when we heard. After 6 years, we could be getting less water. And I've never heard that before, but we've just spent a huge amount of money. Mm. And now we need all that water to... Mm. Nobody ever told us. We were actually, as people said yesterday, we've been pushed to put these pivots in.
Mm.
And on top of that now, we also have the mortgage to pay, but we also have now probably a $40,000 power bill to pay. And then you get to hear in 6 years' time, more water's going to take in office. How do we survive that?
But I know what you're saying. And the short answer is, I don't know. But there are many approaches to dealing with over-allocation and over many durations as well. There's not just one size fits all, which is, I mean, obviously the criticism of this process, but there isn't one size fits all.
Yes, it's just a surprise to hear that. Well, you thought that before this came through, before we spent our money, that the restrictions that they obviously knew... government or whoever, we should have been advised. But anyway, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, I can't comment on on what goes down in this region and won't be commenting. I mean, I can certainly reflect back the hardship that being encouraged down, you know, the efficiency route has caused and. Real stress that causes, but I'm not...
It possibly came from a question I put to Mr and Mrs Hoare, where I put a scenario in terms of what might happen in the future, but that really is on the basis that there's no knowledge or no
decisions have been made at this point in time in terms of what water availability will look like into the future, but rather the new land and water plan will be traversing that territory.
Is it fair to say in a different region that you and I are working on, different capacities, you know, the issues that they have there, which is, you know, Southland, it's water quality.
It's clean water.
And we're looking at intergenerational change. We're not looking at that's as I understand it.
Yes.
It's intergenerational. It is not take all nitrates, take all E. coli, whatever it is, out and stop it tomorrow. It's intergenerational. The issues are significant, but the investment is significant. Yeah.
Thank you.
And you need also, I think, to bear that in mind in terms of how changes come in. It's really complex, and the question will be, well, what is the problem that you're working on? It's actually also the question on this plan change, but we're sort of getting closer to that. But the future plan is, what are you working on, and over what timescales, and what are the relationships between the different things that you're working on? Would that be fair?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank
okay.
you.
All right. Yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Good time
to take a break.
Yep. Yes. Okay, we'll take a quarter of an hour break. All rise.